There are so many depictions of Jesus, so many portrayals, so many pictures, all false. They're all false. There's no description of Christ in Scripture except Revelation 1, but it's largely symbolic because he's a man. But it says we shall see him as he is. We're going to see him, and we'll know him as we've been known. All right, 1 Peter 1. Go back to 1 Peter 1. We began this last Wednesday and didn't get to the second part. We looked at what the prophets inquired and searched diligently into, what all the prophets were taken up with, their great desire and their search and their studies and their diligent research was all about the sufferings of Christ and his glory, the glory that should follow. And it was revealed to them that what they were prophesying of and writing of was not for them, but for a distant time when Christ would come. Now look at verse 12. And unto whom it was revealed, it was not unto them themselves, but unto us they did minister the thing, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. The things that the angels desire to look into. Things concerning salvation. Things of Christ. The things of God. Which things scriptures are written concerning. The whole Bible is about these things. Not a history book. You know that. It's his story. Which things the prophets prophesied, inquired, sought after, searched for, searched diligently, and studied and gave themselves to. And so should we. Oh, the foolish and trivial things that man searches for. Black holes in space. Isn't that deep? No, the hole in your head is what's deep. Oh, the wisdom of man, God says, is foolishness. Man searches everything but the things of God. Everything but the truth. Everything but things that matter. Right? Earthly things. Listen to Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, brethren, when I came to Corinth, which was the center of learning and politics and all the modern world, everybody thought where they were. Knew something, could do something, like America today. He said, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you. I came, he said, doing one thing, declaring the testimony of God. I've got one thing to tell you. God's got one thing to say to me. He said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And we're about to look at, that's what the angels desire to look at. We're going to see what all the angels beheld. And the marvel of that statement is this is what they desire to look into. And Paul went on to say in 1 Corinthians 2, he says, I have not seen, ear hath not heard the things, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed unto us, unto his people. A little bit. We know in part. He hath revealed unto us by his Spirit. We saw that the Holy Spirit is the one who takes the things of Christ. And this, because the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. No man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. You don't know what I'm thinking unless I tell you. And we don't know what God thinks. Thoughts of God, the will, the purpose, the mind of God, unless the Spirit of God tells it. And he goes on to say, we receive not the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things freely given to us of God, which things we speak of, which the Holy Ghost teaches. And he goes on to say, the natural man receiveth not these things, the foolishness to them. That's how depraved man is. He doesn't look at things that are wise and glorious and marvelous. And he looks at things that are foolish and trivial, temporal. I'll say it. But we, by his grace, look at spiritual things. which things the Holy Ghost... Look at verse 11 in our text. It says the Spirit of Christ was in the prophets, doesn't it? Did it say that? Lots of people... That's what it says, doesn't it? Verse 11. The prophets searched what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ that was in them did signify. Testifying what? What did the Spirit of Christ say through the prophets? The sufferings of Jesus Christ and His glory. That's it. That was the message of the prophet. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy God the Father bears witness of the Son, testifies of Him. God the Holy Spirit bears witness of the Son. And all right, this needs to be said because there's so much talk about the Holy Spirit today. And I'm telling you, it's the sin against the Holy Spirit what's going on today. They talk so much about the Holy Spirit. It's all a bunch of, you know, all this tongue and jibber jabber and all this stuff that you see in demon-possessed people. You remember the story of the Gadarene demoniac? When the Lord came him, he was acting like one of these Pentecostals today. Yes, he was. All right, when Christ saved him, he sat down. They found him seated, clothed, and in his right mind. What mind is that? The mind of Christ. He's sitting listening to Jesus Christ. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He doesn't make you talk like a fool. He makes you talk like about Jesus Christ. Look with me at John 14. This needs to be said. This needs to be understood. It's good. And any Spirit-filled preacher or people or church, Christ-filled people, they talk about Christ. That's what the Spirit does. Listen to the words of our Lord Himself. John 14, verse 16. Now He's talking to His disciples. He's not talking to the world, is He? This is a private sermon to His disciples. And He says in verse 16, I will pray the Father and He'll give you another comforter. Meaning He was their comforter. He's leaving and He's going to send someone to abide with them. The comforter, the Holy Spirit. He will abide with you forever. He's the Spirit of what? Truth. The world cannot receive Him. He seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Who's that? Christ in you. He's called the Spirit of Christ. Spirit of truth. Did not Christ say in this same chapter, I am the truth. So whatever the Holy Spirit says, it's about Christ. It's pointing people to Christ. All right, look down in verse 26. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things. What things? All things. What things? Christ is all. What's that mean? Well, come on now. What else could it mean? And in all. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. It pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Fullness of what? Name something. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, joy, peace, love, mercy, grace. It's in Him. It's all in Him. Found in Him. Of His fullness have we received. And He'll bring, verse 26, He'll bring all things to your remembrance what? Jewish history? No, whatsoever things I have said unto you. The disciples, the prophet, the apostles could not take in everything our Lord said to them. He said, I have many things to say unto you. You're not able to bear them now, but you will. And I, don't you know, and we've done it ourselves, that going along and all of a sudden you think, I remember when He said that. And those disciples, they start preaching, I remember what He said. And they're writing, He told us these things. And all kept coming back to Him. The Holy Spirit's the one that dwell with them. Chapter 16. Now you need to know that. You need to know where these scriptures are. To talk to people about the Holy Spirit. He doesn't speak of Himself. Nor do God's people speak of Him. They're not taken up with the Holy Spirit. They're thankful. They worship Him. But it's the Spirit of Christ. Look at it now. John 16, verse 7. It says, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove, convince, convict, save, convert the world. Not every person in the world, but a people out of the world. Of sin, righteousness, and judgment. What is all that? Sin, because they believe not on me. This is the sin that God holds every human being accountable for and will send people to hell for. Not, as my dad used to say, for stealing a watermelon. That won't send you to hell. Smoking a cigarette won't send you to hell. Drinking a beer won't send you to hell. Not bowing to God's Son will. Of righteousness. Because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of righteousness. We don't have one. We can't produce one. We try to, and it's a filthy rag, like those fig leaves that Adam and Eve covered themselves with. No. And there's many that go about to establish their righteousness, where they dress and what they do and what they don't do. And God says, if righteousness comes that way, Christ died in vain. There's only one way a human being is made righteous is through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. How many people understand that? That's what the Holy Spirit makes His people understand. All of them, there's not one of them that don't understand that. There's not one that doesn't know that Jesus Christ is our righteousness. Every single saint is dressed in a robe in glory, and they didn't make the robe, Jesus Christ did. Right? That's what the Holy Spirit, these are the things that the Holy Spirit teaches His people. No, and there's none of God's people who don't understand these things in principle. None. Even our little children know these things. They don't necessarily love them in their heart yet, but they know them in their head. And we hope it'll go from here to here. And he goes on to say of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. All right? There's a judgment to faith. And everybody's going to be there. And we're either going to be judged in Christ or standing right beside Him. So see, God is going to judge every man in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, Jesus Christ. You're going to be in Him covered, or you're going to stand beside Him to try to measure up to Him. And we've come far short. We understand this. Is this doctrine? This is the truth. The whole truth. Christ. This is what the Holy Spirit. Now let's go back to my text, okay? But he spoke twice of the Holy Spirit. That's important. The prophets spake under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The apostles spake. What were they doing? Preaching. That's what God uses. That is the means. The means, isn't it? And I'm glad you're here tonight. You would not have heard these things if you weren't here tonight. And if the Spirit is present, He takes these things and shows them His people. He hides them from the wise and prudent and reveals them unto His people. All right, 1 Peter. And so he said, the prophets, through the Holy Spirit, and it's all about Christ. Oh, how blessed we are if we at least know these things and believe these things, love these things. All right. Now, in our text, it says, which things the angels desire to look into. The angels. Which thing? What thing? What thing? The things of Christ. The suffering, the glory of Christ. Go to Exodus 25. This is a picture, a symbolic picture of what Peter just said. I think Peter is alluding to this. What a beautiful thing this is, the mercy seat and the cherubs over the mercy seat. Look at this, Exodus 25. God gave the directions, instructions for the making of the tabernacle. Every part of it refers to Jesus Christ. Right? Yes, it does. You know that. All right? The mercy seat. Oh, my. See, I'm laughing already. It's wonderful, isn't it? If you know these things, happy are you. Verse 17, thou shalt make a mercy seat. Exodus 25:7 says, a mercy seat of pure gold. Oh, I can't comment. I want to. 2 cubits and a half shall it be, the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof. Verse 18. Thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold. These are figures, kind of like statues. All right, of gold. Beaten work shalt thou make them in the 2 ends, on either side of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub on one end, the other on the other end, even of the mercy seat, concerning the matter of the mercy seat. These cherubs are going to be, what they are about is the mercy seat. Read on. The cherubim of the 2 ends. And the cherubs, verse 20, shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wing, and their faces shall look one to another toward the mercy seat. Now here it is. It's a picture of these 2 cherubs. One on this side, like a table at Ark, wasn't much bigger than this. And there'd be one on this side with their wings, and one on this side like that. And they're looking at one another, and they're looking down, which things the angels desire to look into. It's like God made them to show that this is what even the angels are taken up with. What's in this ark? What is this? What is this? And look down, look at this. And you'll put the mercy seat, verse 21, above upon the ark. See, it was the crown on that ark. And in the ark put the testimony that I shall give thee, and there will I meet with thee and commune with thee from above the mercy seat between the 2 cherubim where are upon the ark of the testimony of all things. It's all right there. And you know, from Exodus to Revelation, same things. From Genesis to Revelation. But Exodus is where the ark, and the rest of the book is talking about, the rest of the Old Testament is just all of these things. And then Hebrews is a summary of all of that. All right. 1 Peter, go back there now. So he said, which things the angels desire to look into. What about us? What about us? And I know it's so. I've said this so many times. I know it's so with you, with most of you, because you keep coming here. We do one thing here. We preach one thing here. No, we're taken up with one thing. We're not taken up with political causes. Saving with social causes. None of these things. We don't let people come in here and talk about the Gideons and talk about this and that. You say, but that's a good... I don't have time for that. But we'll do it. Go somewhere else and do that. We're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ here. Why? Because there's some lost people. There's some saved people in here. What else is there? And if you know this, you don't want to hear anything else, do you? Well, one thing, David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord. This is what God's people say, like the angels. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. What, David? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold His beauty. His beauty. Inquire into His temple. Inquire. David, you want to inquire what? That's what the prophets inquired of. The sufferings of Christ. All the Psalms. Oh, what the Psalms. David wrote Psalm 22. All his Messianic Psalms. 69. And don't you know while he's writing this? It's glorious. He's thinking, oh my. The Spirit, he couldn't write fast enough. The Spirit was... David never said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? David never had his beard cooked out. David never gave his back to the smiter. David never did that. He was speaking of Jesus Christ under inspiration of the Spirit. Oh, how blessed we are to know. And when we see these things, we keep opening up. We keep seeing His beauty, His work, His person, His glory. And we just, our faith is a person. Our faith's not in doctrine, not in a creed. It's not in a catechism. It's not a profession of faith. It's a person, a living person. And it's a relationship with Him. Oh, man. We sang that song, "When by His grace I shall look on His face, that will be glory." Be glory for me. Nobody's going to be in heaven who doesn't know and hasn't seen something of the glory of Jesus Christ. Nobody's going to be in heaven who doesn't enjoy worshiping Jesus Christ. They're not going to be there. Because that's all heaven's about. All heaven's about. Well, how do you know you'll be with Him in glory? How do you know you're going to be with Him in glory? Remember, Christ said, "Father, I will that they be with me where I am," to do what? "That they may behold my glory." Didn't He say that? Have you? Have you already? Then you'll be with Him. Do you understand? People come, they sit, and they listen, and whether it's me or whoever it might be, there's been some glorious messages preached. Messages of Christ, haven't there? Some wonderful messages. Many messages of Christ. And they sit and they listen and they leave. They didn't behold His glory. They're looking for something else. There is nothing else. Anybody coming to heaven looking for something else, not going to be there. Right? Which things the angels desire to look into. All right. Let me tell you just a little bit about angels. We don't know much. And I hope we don't go away from here. Don't come up and ask me any more questions about angels. I don't want to go away from here talking about angels. At Pentecost, they didn't go away talking about the tongues. They didn't go away talking about, they were talking about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. All right, angels. There's some things that we do know from scriptures about angels. We dare not worship them. And it's proof that somebody doesn't know God, doesn't know Christ, who worships angels, who's taken up with angels, who has little figures in their yard of angels. It's proof they don't know God. That's a graven image. It's the worshiping of angels, which Colossians 2 tells us not to do. He said they worship angels, not holding the head. One time, you know the story in Revelation 19, was it? John, the angel, was showing John all these things, and John fell at his feet. He was such a glorious creature, and John fell at his feet, and the angel said, "Don't do that. I'm one of your brethren," he said. Worship God. Don't worship angels. What is an angel? It's a messenger. That's all it means. Messenger. They're not deified creatures. They're not little gods. They're glorified. Well, they're messengers. And you may not know this, but there's seraphs and cherubim. What are they? Well, the name means imaginary figure. Every mention of the seraphs and the cherubs is talking about around the ark and the temple. They were little figurines or engraved on the tapestry. They weren't real creatures. Do you hear me? They're not going to be little goblins floating all over the place in heaven. No, no, no. Look it up yourself. It means an imaginary figure. That's what seraph meant, cherub meant, an imaginary figure. Now God told us not to make them, but He told Moses to make them. God can do what he will. But they were symbolic. They were types and pictures and shadows and symbols, okay? Angels. Every appearance of an angel was a man. Do you hear me? They didn't have wings. You won't find anywhere in this Bible where angels had wings. They didn't. The cherubs and seraphs did, but they're imaginary figures. Angels didn't have wings. They were men. They were men sent by God. Messengers. Those people would have worshipped them. They would have fallen down and worshipped these creatures. Oh no, they were men. They were men. Did you know that? They were men. And they came at specific times sent by God at wonderful and glorious times, like Abraham, the calling of Abraham, the telling of Abraham the covenant. Remember that the angels came to Abraham? And what? There were three of them. One of them was Christ. One of them was a man, all right. It was the God man. He had wings. They came to Lot. Remember? Lot was standing at the gate. Sitting at the gate. Two angels came. We looked at that. And one of them was the Lord. Laid hold on him. Merciful. Jacob. There's a man wrestled with Jacob. There's an angel. It's a man. Same thing. It says we're going to be like the angels. Doesn't say that. We shall be as the angels. Glorified creatures. We're going to be men. And I'm going to have wings. When the angel came to Manoah. Remember the story of Manoah and his wife? Samson was going to be born. And the angel did what no man can do. He got in that sacrifice. He got in that very fire and sent it up to heaven. That was Jesus Christ. The angel came to Gideon, remember? And he touched the altar and sacrificed. And Gideon said, I've seen God. He was a man sitting under an oak tree. And you know what God says about the preachers, the pastors, and all the churches in Revelation? What does he call them? Angels. Our Lord was an angel. The angel, the messenger of the covenant, wasn't it? He's much like us, a man. So, it's enough of angels, okay? They were messengers. They were sent to bring a message about what? Christ. One thing. Every time. Everybody was in the covenant. From Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I don't know. What about Michael, the archangel? What about Gabriel? Huh? What about? Huh? What about them? They're men. They're men. That's who they were. Sent with a message. All right. What things have the angels beheld, and what things do they desire to look into? Let's think about this for a minute. All right. All right, they beheld, the angels beheld the fall of Lucifer. There was a host of angels with Lucifer, son of the morning, told in Isaiah 14. Our Lord spoke of it. He said, I beheld Satan fall like lightning. I was there. They were the angels. And you know, 1 Timothy 5:21 talks about the elect angels. God elected some of those angels. Talks about the elect angels. Why didn't they fall? Because God elected them. The other ones he allowed to fall in his purpose, okay? And they're reserved in chains of darkness to be cast in the lake of fire. But the other elect angels, no. These are the ones who they're looking into and beholding the glory of Christ. All right? They beheld the fall of Lucifer. What did that put in them? Just like us. Amen? Fear. God's holy. Holy, holy, holy. Oh, they see it now. Just casting those others down to hell. And they knew then, right then, a little bit about mercy. It's only His mercy that we didn't do that. Didn't they? It's great. They beheld the creation of the world. All of that happened, Lucifer and all, happened before the world was created. Well, then apparently the angels beheld the creation of the world. Imagine that. Can you imagine watching God, watching Christ? Let there be. Just form. And they beheld Him go down and takes some clay. What's he making? What's he doing? He didn't know what he was doing. God doesn't give an account of his matters. They're watching. He's making this figure. Oh, it's beautiful. What? He looks like him. And then breathed in it. This creature and man. And you say, what about things? I don't know. I'm speaking things through wonderful form. But they saw this. Man. God's most glorious creation up to that point. The most glorious was the second Adam, which they beheld. But they saw this man. All right, this man was in paradise. This man was a friend of God. This man was with God. This man loved God, seemed to. God was in paradise. All of a sudden, they saw this. Lucifer comes thinking at it and start talking to that woman. What do you think they're thinking? Why didn't God do something? Let's go down. No. They know. And they saw that woman willfully, and the man willfully disobeyed God and rebel against God willfully. Like no less than Lucifer. Lucifer said, I will. And Adam and Eve said, we will. We will not have this man reign. We will not. We will be as God. That's what they said. Just like Lucifer, they said, these little creatures said, we will be as God. What do you think the angels thought was going to happen? They didn't know what was going to happen. What do you think they thought? Well, God's going to, he's going to destroy them like he did the other. He's going to put them in chains. And all of a sudden, they saw Emmanuel. They saw Christ, the voice of God, come walking in the cool. Come walking in the garden. He's walking. But he's going to smite them. No, he didn't smite them. He's speaking to them. He's talking to them tenderly, kindly, convictingly, yes. Chastening, yes, but he's convicting them and he's talking to them. And they hear every word of this. And you hear the woman see. What's that? They didn't know. What's that? In case I don't get to it, Ephesians 3. Go over to Ephesians 3. Okay? I'm not making this up. Look at Ephesians 3, which things the angels desire to look into. Look at this. This is amazing. Ephesians 3. Paul said, verse 8, Ephesians 3:8, he said, unto me, I'm given the grace of God is given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. What's that? That I should preach. That's how men are saved, by the grace of God through preaching among the Gentiles. What? The unsearchable riches of Christ. Read on. To make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent, to the purpose that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church of God. The manifold wisdom of God. They didn't know. They didn't know. What is this? And they heard God. And they heard Christ say these things about the woman's seed. And what they're hearing is mercy. What they're hearing is a message of grace, of substitution. The woman's seed. All right. And all of a sudden, blood had never been seen. Blood had never been shed. No. They saw the Lord Jesus Christ take a lamb, an innocent, beautiful, glorious creature of God, without spot, without blemish, and right before the eyes of Adam and Eve, right before the eyes of all the angels, the Lord Jesus Christ took a knife, that living, beautiful creature, and slit its throat. And this red, crimson river flowed, this fountain of blood flowed. And that's, they saw that animal kick and lie and die. They'd never seen death before. Nobody had. What is this? What is this? Do you know what this is? And they saw him take the skin off of that lamb and take those two shivering, scared, guilty sinners and wrap them up in it. Wrap them up. They'd never felt so secure. What's that? Can you come up and tell me? We all know what that is. Which things the angels desire to look at. They saw that. They saw it. Then go several thousand years later. They saw the Son of God leave his throne. Where's he going? He's going to earth. What's he doing? They saw him change. Enter the womb of a woman. He said, "Thanks, too wonderful." And then, months later, God said, "Gabriel, angels, I want a multitude of you, heavenly hosts, go to earth, tell them all, salvation has come. The Son of God, Son of Man." The God-man, God, is manifest in the flesh. Unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. It says, yes, let's go. Send me. All of you go. They're all coming to get us. Right? Wonderful. Think about it. What is this? Why would he go down to that place? They saw sin. Sin just multiplied. Didn't they? They saw sin abounded, superabounded. They saw sin. But what are they learning on it? Where sin abounded, grace did much more. Man. Our God is merciful. Isn't he? Look. He didn't spare those angels that kept not their first estate. He showed no mercy to them. And these people are no better, no different. But God. They now understand a little bit, Tammy. But God is merciful. Infinitely merciful. Infinitely gracious. This is the most wonderful thing. How? Why would he spare? He's just merciful. That's why. Because he's God. And not man. Then, 33 years later, they saw a mob come in the garden where our Lord was and grab him. That's their Lord. That's the one they attended to. They ministered to him when he spoke. They saw Satan standing and tempting and taunting him. Kelly, don't you know? Why is he doing that? Why is he allowing Satan to... Don't you know? They thought, Lord, snuff him out. No. He's us. He's a man. He's our substitute. He had to be tempted at all points. He allowed that serpent to taunt him and tempt him. And don't you know the angels? Why? Right, then in the garden, this mob came and grabbed hold of him. And they took him in that hall. And they started beating him unmercifully. What do you think the angels thought? Remember our Lord said to Peter, Peter wanted to defend him. He said, Peter, I could call 10,000 legions of angels. And they may have been waiting in the wings. Just say the word. No. This is his glory. This is his greatest glory. I just don't understand it. The angels, why would he allow this to happen? And then they hung him on a cross. He willingly put his arm and hand out there. I nailed it. And he didn't wince. He didn't cry out. What a man. He says, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Angels are just, this is amazing. Aren't they? They're just amazing. This is amazing that he's enduring this. So we're not sure why. And somehow, in all of this, Satan's head was crushed. Fiery crushed. Serpents bruised his heel. And somehow, it's all coming together. And then he died. Their Lord, the Lord of life, expired. He died. They saw him die. Hang his head. Drop it. No, he didn't drop his head. He bowed his head. You understand? He laid down his life. Nothing killed him. He just bowed his head. Like taking a curtain call. And maybe the angels gave him a standing ovation. Maybe. But he died. Where was he? Where'd he go? Nobody knows. I kind of believe our Lord gave him 3 days of sleep. Just rest. There's a scripture that speaks of that. After 3 days I awoke and my sleep was sweet to me. But he spent 33 years, the equivalent of an eternity, working tirelessly, enduring everything. God gave him rest. He gave his beloved sleep. But the angels thought, he's dead. He's dead. And 3 days later. 3 days later. Okay, Gabriel. Michael. Go bring him out. Bring him out! Roll away the stone! And they saw their Savior come out. And he stayed here 40 days. And that's what Daniel wrote of in Daniel 9. Okay. And then, and they were sent to bring our Lord back to glory. Is this not the most amazing story ever been told? Went back to glory. And they sat down. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And the angels, what were they doing? Beholding his glory. Sufferings. Well, we know a little bit. And so do we. Okay, stand with me.